This morning I want to talk to you simply about a faithful priest. And I want to go to, there's actually three passages of scripture I want to go to. So go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 25, and 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 25, 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're actually going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a good thing we have five fingers on our hands this morning. Okay, we're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards," stewards simply means servants of the Lord, "it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That a man be found faithful. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19. Verse 19 says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm not trying to scare you this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. Verse 35 says, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed." That word anointed there actually means Messiah. "He shall walk before my Messiah forever." Let's pray. Lord, we love you with all of our heart. And God, I do ask that you would just touch me this morning, touch my voice. And God, just give me clarity of mind, just to speak your word in your heart to your people, Lord. Father, you're going to encourage our heart today. You're going to challenge our heart today. God, you're going to strengthen our heart today. God, you're going to provoke our heart today. God, I have confidence in your word. And I know that you've spoken these truths. And Lord, I just give you glory and honor for everything that you're doing in our life. I give you glory and honor. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord has been birthing a prayer in my heart, and it's just been a prayer that has been rising up in my heart every time I've been going to the prayer closet, every time I've been going to that secret place of prayer just to spend time with God. It's a prayer that just has been continually just rising up in my heart. And that prayer is simply this, that I would just be faithful to the Lord, that I would love the Lord with all my heart, and I would be just faithful, so faithful to the Lord. And I believe that prayer comes out of seeing the Lord's faithfulness in my own heart and seeing the Lord's faithfulness in my life. That even in my times of failure and shortcoming, I have seen God's faithfulness in my life. And I have learned, the one thing I have learned in walking with the Lord is when you really love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and soul and strength, and you want nothing else but to do His will, the Lord will be faithful to you. He'll be faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 8 says, "I will not fail you." The Lord says, "I will not fail you." Now the Lord didn't say that we wouldn't fail Him at times. He said that He wouldn't fail us at times. And when you really love the Lord and your heart is so given to the Lord, even in times of failure, even in times of shortcoming, when you truly love the Lord and you want His will over everything else, even in times of failure and shortcoming, God will be faithful to you. He will keep you in that perfect will. I'm reminded of Abraham. God made a great promise to Abraham. And He said, "Abraham, I'm going to give Sarai and yourself, I'm going to give you a son." God made him a great promise. Wonderful promise. But we see in a time of human weakness, we see that Abraham was overcome by his fear. And he actually put his wife in a harem. Put his wife there. But because Abraham desired the will of God, because Abraham had left home and family and land to be in the will of God, God protected his will for Abraham's life. God protected the promises that God had for Abraham's life. That, brothers and sisters, when we truly love the Lord, even in times of human weakness and human failure, when you truly love the Lord and you want His will for your life over everything else, God is faithful. Now again, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35 says, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and my mind. So I just want to ask you a question this morning. Who is a faithful priest? Well, there's many things that we can talk about in being a faithful priest. But in the context of this message, there's a prophet talking to a priest by the name of Eli. And this prophet is telling Eli, he's saying, Eli, God is about to remove you from your priesthood. He's about to remove your sonship from being priests of the Lord because the priesthood is contaminated by the flesh. He's saying, Eli, I'm about to remove you from your office, from a minister of the Lord, because your priesthood, your office is polluted by the flesh. And brothers and sisters, today we live in an age that is so fleshly. We live in an age that is so filthy. It's so given to the flesh. And the prayer of my heart has simply been this, Lord, I just pray that you would keep me so in love with Jesus, that my heart would be so consecrated to the Lord, that I would never lose my place of consecration to the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, I said it last Sunday night, and I want to say it again. Sanctification is what God is doing in your life. But consecration is what you have set apart to the Lord. And there are things I will not allow in my house, and there are things I will not allow myself to be entertained by, because I am consecrated to the Lord. I have consecrated my life to the Lord. And the cry of my heart in this place of prayer is simply being, God, just keep me so in love with Jesus that I would never lose that place of consecration with the Lord. I would never lose that place. I would never lose that place of being separated from the world with God. See, brothers and sisters, the flesh is being eaten up. The flesh is eating up the ministry today. Through things like television and media, so many ministers have become worldly and fleshly. They have no life of prayer because they spend so much time being entertained by the world. And the church has become very worldly. Because we love the world, we brought things in from the world. And we've tried to make it look spiritual and tried to make it look godly. I think about the world's music. We have brought the world's music into the church. Because it's in our heart. The world is in our heart. And we brought it into the church. And we try to make it look holy. And we try to make it look like it's consecrated to the Lord. But when you strip it all down, it's still flesh. And walking in the flesh just isn't worldliness. When we walk in the flesh, we walk in the flesh when we become prideful. We walk in the flesh when we become slothful and lazy. We walk in the flesh when we become indifferent about the things of the Lord. We walk in the flesh when we love something else more than we love Jesus and His will for our lives. And the prayer that has been coming into my heart has simply been this, Jesus, keep me so in love with you that nothing else would take the throne of my heart but your perfect will. I don't want pastoring and being a teacher in a Bible college just to become a job or just something I do. I want it to be upon the throne of my heart. I want it to be the passion of my heart. Nothing else. The will of the Lord for my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. One of the most vital traits that God looks for in a vessel is faithfulness. One of the most vital traits that God must find in a vessel is faithfulness. A vessel must be faithful. A vessel must be trustworthy. A vessel must be dependable. A vessel must be someone that God can look down on and say, I can count on that man. I can count on that woman. The scriptures make it very clear that God cannot truly use someone who is not faithful. He cannot truly use someone who is not fully given to the call of Christ on their life. He cannot truly use someone who is dependable. Proverbs 25 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. The Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. Beloved, today we are living in a time of trouble. Our world is in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. A big part of the church is in trouble. And the Lord goes on to say, He says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now let's ask a question. What does a broken tooth and a foot out of joint have in common? One thing, they're useless. God is saying, an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is useless to me. Now just hear my heart, because we're going to speak some hopeful things too, but I really want us to understand this. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how gifted we are. It doesn't matter how talented we are. It doesn't matter how great our abilities are. God cannot use us if we are not faithful to the Lord. So where does faithfulness originate from? Faithfulness is birthed out of a sincere love for the Lord in your heart. Because you love Him, there are no rivals in your life. Because you love Him, there are no rivals in your heart. There isn't anything competing for your affection. There isn't anything competing for your attention. Christ and His will for your life has absolute preeminence in your life. That's where faithfulness originates from. Your love for the Lord. And fully being sold out to His will upon your life, His call upon your life. And what does faithfulness require? Faithfulness requires a crucified life, doesn't it? Faithfulness requires a crucified life. Brothers and sisters, in the will of God, this flesh will suffer. In the will of God, the flesh will suffer. But there's something in your heart that says, Lord, I love You. And God, even if the will of God is going to cause me to suffer, I would rather commit my life to You and suffer than to be disobedient to what You're telling me to do. To be faithful, it does require a crucified life. Jesus, I love You too. I love You so much that even if Your will calls for a cross and going to a cross and this flesh suffering, Jesus, I love You too much to disobey. It requires a crucified life. The will of God will cost you your desires. There are going to be times you're going to be walking with the Lord and everything's going to be fine and the blessing of heaven. But as you're walking with the Lord, there will be times when you come to that crossroads in life where God's will goes this way and your wants and desires go this way. That crossroad in your life. And then because we love the Lord, we have to make that choice. God, I'm going to forsake my path. I'm going to forsake my desires and the things that I want to embrace Your will, God, because I love You and I want to be faithful. Being faithful to the Lord will cost you your will and your desires. But because you love the Lord and you desire His will above everything else, you just desire to be faithful. Now understand, spiritual authority has everything to do with being faithful. Walking in spiritual authority has everything to do with being faithful. I want you to go with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19. This is the Lord speaking. Luke 19 verse 17. Verse 17 says, And He said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So faithfulness and authority go together. It's those who are dependable. It's those who are trustworthy. It's those who love the Lord and are obedient to Him that walk in the authority of Christ. Authority is birthed out of obedience. Brothers and sisters, the anointing upon your life does not come by getting in someone's prayer line. I've been down that road before. It doesn't come by getting in somebody's prayer line and having them lay hands on you and pray the double portion. Lord, give them the double portion. That's not how the anointing comes. The anointing comes out of a life of obedience. The Bible says in the book of Acts, it says God gives the Holy Ghost to those who obey Him. There's no shortcuts to this thing. It comes out of a life of obedience to the Lord, loving the Lord and walking in obedience to the Lord. That's where the anointing, that's where spiritual authority comes from. And while we're here in this verse, we might as well look at something else. God looks for faithfulness in the small things. Look at verse 17 again. Luke 19, verse 17. He says, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So the Lord does look for faithfulness in the little things. It may seem little, it may seem small, but if it's something that God has put in your hands and your heart to do, God looks for faithfulness there. So my question is, are we faithful in the small things? Are we faithful in things that don't really seem like a big deal, but they've been given to us from the Lord? We have students here at Bible school. And you have midterms and finals throughout the year. So the question is, are you faithful to study for your exams before you take them? Are you faithful to do your part? Amen. Are you faithful to do your class assignments? We shouldn't have to be running you down trying to get you to turn in papers and class assignments. Amen. God is looking for faithfulness in the small things. You understand that? In the small things. That's what He's looking for. And please don't get up here and try. If you're in the choir, don't try to get up here and be a person. Just let me share my heart, okay? Is that okay if I share my heart? Don't get up here and try to look so holy and intimate and spiritual. Because God's not looking at that. He's saying, you want my anointing. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's in the small things that God has set before us. And God wants to know, will you be faithful? Or in the small things, are you indifferent? Are you mediocre? Are you slothful in the small things? Believe it or not, how we deal with the small things and our attitude in the small things will determine how God will use your life. What determines the vessel that God will use? What determines the vessel that God will use? One word, testings. There will be many trials and testings in our life, and the one question God is seeking to answer is this: will you be found faithful? When you go through the testings and the trials, the one question God is seeking to answer is this: will you be found faithful? The scriptures say, many are called, but few are chosen. This used to confuse me until I heard a man of God explain it to me one time. Many are called at salvation. Many are saved. But it's the trials and the testings of life that will determine who God will choose to use. The testings and the trials of life will determine who God will choose to use. Nothing reveals the contents of the heart like trials and suffering. It is in the trials and hardships of life that the faithful and obedient are revealed. When we look in the scriptures, we see vessels that God used were tested in very hard and difficult places. Joseph was tested in Egypt, Daniel in Babylon, Moses in Midian, David in the wilderness. But the one thing I see in their lives is that in every difficult place and every hard place they were in, they were faithful to the Lord. And whatever God put in their hands, it didn't matter how difficult it was, the grace of God was sufficient, and they did it with all of their heart. No matter what the difficulty, whatever God placed in their hand, they were faithful, and they did it with all of their heart. Joseph was put in a very hard place, very difficult place. But yet in these hard, difficult places, Joseph found favor with God and Joseph found favor with man. Why? Because he was faithful. Whatever God put in his hands to do, he did it with all of his heart. And he found favor. So the question is, there might be very difficult problems and hardships going on in our lives. But even in these places, are we being faithful with what God has put in our hands? Can we truly say, not by feeling, but by the grace of God, I am doing it with all of my heart, even in these difficult places? It's what God is looking for. Now, I don't want to make God sound harsh. In fact, He's the opposite. God understands that we are frail and we're made out of dust. It even says that in the Psalms, that He knows we're frame, we're made out of dust, and He's very compassionate and has pity upon His children. And I do want to say this, the Lord does leave a lot of room for struggle, and He leaves a lot of room for failure in this walk of faithfulness to the Lord. And that is His faithfulness. That's His faithfulness to us. He leaves a lot of room for struggle, and He leaves a lot of room for failure in this walk with the Lord. First of all, He leaves a lot of room for struggle. Jesus knew what it was like to struggle in the will of God. Jesus was the one who prayed in the garden, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I'm not going to water that down. He was looking at the shadow of the cross. His moment had come, and there was a struggle going on in His heart. But yet He finished the prayer. He said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. And brothers and sisters, in our times of struggle, we still have to finish the prayer, because I truly believe that is where the victory is. We have to pray, God, I don't like this. I don't want to go through this. I mean, the flesh is suffering and all these things, whatever it is. But Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. If I have to suffer in this, I will suffer in this. But I would rather obey you and suffer than spare my flesh and spare whatever it is I want to spare than not be obedient to your voice. Jesus is very tender and he understands our struggles. And he says when you are in a place of weakness and struggle, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace and there you will find strength and comfort. He understands struggle. Also, he understands failure. Brothers and sisters, somewhere in our walk with Christ, we are all going to experience some type of failure. Do you know that? Have you been there? Do you know what it is to fall flat on your face? We're going to experience some type of failure. But the thing I found about failure is when you truly love the Lord with all your heart and you truly want His will more than anything else in the world, failure has a great place in the molding process of God. I believe that. From reading about people in the Bible and from my own life, I honestly believe with all my heart, grace does its greatest work in failure. Understand, failure works humility into your heart. Failure works a deeper dependency upon the Lord in your heart. Failure causes you to look away from self and look more to the Lord. Failure strips you of your strength and causes you to walk in the Lord's strength because God gives grace to the humble. Brothers and sisters, it can be very hard when you experience failure. There can be a lot of remorse there when you experience failure. But if you truly love the Lord and want His will above everything else, never despise your failings because God is working in it powerfully because He is faithful. I've learned that from the Lord. Never despise your failure. I know I love the Lord with all my heart and I know there's no rivals for His will in my life. But I also know what a human weakness is sometimes. But God, He always comes and He says, Tim, never despise your failure. Because I'm doing something powerful in your life through it. That's the faithfulness of the Lord. Now I want to show you something. I talked about this before, but I just want to show you again. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Verse 28. And Peter answered Jesus and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked unto the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? So Peter's out walking on the water. And a lot of times we talk about Peter's unbelief and his doubt here, but you got to understand there's only two people who's ever walked on the water. And that's Jesus and Peter. So Peter's walking on the water, but the Bible says that he begins to see the wind and the waves and he begins to sink. And really what we see here is this man is being overcome by his fears. This man is beginning to sink and drown in his fears and in his doubt. But the Bible says that Jesus reached down and picked him up and he lifted him up out of that water. Now why did Jesus do that? Because Jesus saw the potential that this man had to be. Jesus saw that sinking into this water is not the end of the message. Jesus saw that he could make still work in Peter's life and do something in Peter's life. So even when Peter was sinking, Jesus in his faithfulness lifted him up and drew him up out of the water. And brothers and sisters, as long as Peter loved the Lord and he really just had a heart to do the will of God, Peter could have sunk 100 times and Jesus would have lifted him up 100 times. His faith could have failed 100 times and Jesus would have lifted him up 100 times. Now go with me to Acts chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in the prison and delivered him to the 4 quarantines of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains. And the keepers before the door kept the present. Let's just stop there. This is what I want us to see. I want us to see the faithfulness of God in his life, in Peter's life. Here, years later in the book of Acts, the same man that was sinking in the water, the Bible says now he's about to be executed. He's about to be destroyed. James is already killed with the sword. And now we find him in the prison, in a dark prison, a dank prison, and he's chained between two guards. And what does the Bible say he's doing? He's sleeping, right? He's at rest. Now, what you got to see in the Spirit is this. In Acts chapter 12, what is Peter doing? He's walking on the water. In a time when this man should be drowning in his doubt, drowning in his fears, being overwhelmed by his fears and his situation, you find this man at rest. The same rest that Jesus had in the boat when they were in a storm again and Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. It's the same rest. You see the faithfulness of Christ to work in this man's heart and to make him that stone that he prophesied he would be, a man who does not waver. So what am I saying? Even in times of failure, when your heart is really towards the Lord and you really want the will of God in His faithfulness, He will draw you up out of those waters and He will encourage you and say, keep walking because I see what you can be in me. That's His faithfulness to His people. God is faithful. And it's because of His faithfulness, there's just something that comes into my heart that says, God, I want to be faithful. I don't want to be a mediocre Christian. I don't want to be slothful Christian. I don't want to be lazy and indifferent about the ministry and the calling you put in my hands. I want to be faithful. Because you're faithful. I don't want other rivals in my life. I don't want being a preacher just to be something else that I do, but my affections and my attention is fully given to something else because something else has my heart. I don't want that. I didn't sign up for this army of the Lord to have that. I want to be faithful. Now, I just want to end by asking a simple question. I said end, but it has three parts. Brother Al, it has three parts. I feel the joy of the Lord this morning. I feel the joy of the Lord this morning. I want to end by asking a simple question. Why do I want to be faithful to the Lord? Very simple question. Why do I want to be faithful to the Lord? And I want to make this personal. Please allow me to make this personal. Why do I want to be faithful to the Lord? For three reasons. First of all, because of the great love He has in His heart, that He would die on the cross for me. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to be faithful to the Lord because the story of the cross is not a fairy tale and it is a myth. That day Jesus died on that cross for my sins is as real as the day we're sitting here today. You know, I was talking to a young man not long ago. And he was just very discouraged because he felt like the Lord disappointed him. He had his hopes on something. He just knew the Lord was going to give him this thing, and the Lord didn't give him this thing, and he just felt very disappointed by it. And he actually got angry and blamed the Lord for it. And he was sitting in my office talking to me, and he was telling me about how he's going to leave the perfect will of God in his life, for his life, because the Lord disappointed him. And I just began to speak to him, and this is something that just rose up in my heart. I said, listen. When the eyes of your heart have truly been opened, and you have seen the cross, and you have seen the suffering and the anguish that Jesus went through to buy your salvation, can you leave Him that easy? When you see it, when you know the cross isn't just a story in our little book we read to our children, but He really suffered and died for my salvation, can I really walk away from the cross that easy? I want to be faithful. Because yet, though I was a sinner, He went to that cross and He died for me. I don't want no rivals in my heart. I want nothing else competing for the will of God. He died for me. Understand? And He died for you. Why do I want to be faithful to the Lord? Because He promises to always be faithful to me. Let me just read you some scriptures that speak of God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy 31:6, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Psalm 91:3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold thee with the hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 54:4, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, with groanings that cannot be uttered. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why do I want to be faithful to the Lord? Because He always promises to be faithful to me. And He always promises to be faithful to you. I want to be faithful. And the last... oh, there's so many I could list. But the last one on my preaching notes. Why do I want to be faithful to Jesus? Just because of who Jesus is. The more you know Jesus, the more you can't help but fall in love with Him. I love reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in those simple stories because you really see who Jesus is. I love that story in the Bible. One of my favorites is the story of the leper. We spoke about that about a month ago, the story of a leper. How this leper came to Jesus and fell down and said, Jesus, if you can heal me. And the Bible says that before Jesus healed him, he reached out and touched him. You know what that tells me? That tells me Jesus desires to touch the world's untouchables. What I simply mean by that is Jesus desires to touch those who just feel in their heart that they're untouchable. They're a leper in their heart. This world is so full of people who just feel like, who can love me? Is there anyone that can love me? Can someone love me? Am I that wretch? Am I that messed up? Am I that a wretched, miserable creature? They just have these things going on in their heart. Maybe it's because of something that happened to them as a child. Maybe it's because something somebody said to them and this awful spirit of rejection come upon them. But the Lord says, I desire to touch those who deem themselves as untouchable. That's the Lord's heart. How can you not love Him when you see Him? You know, I love this story of a leper. You just have to bear with me. It's one of my favorite stories, and I just can't help but put an ending to it. I mean, there's just so many things that can happen. This man comes to Jesus, and Jesus touches him, and he heals him, and I can't help but think, maybe this man had a wife and a child at home. Now, you just have to bear with me. Let me just do this, okay? Maybe he had a wife and a child at home. And maybe for years, because it says in Luke, this man was covered with leprosy. Leprosy is a process, and he was covered, so he was a leper for years. And maybe there were just years that he would go to this secret place, and he would see his wife and child, and they would talk together from a distance. And all along, his heart is just bursting to kiss his wife and hold his child. That's all he ever thinks about. That's all he ever dreams about. He knows when his child's birthday is. He knows when the anniversary is. And then Jesus heals him. And then he goes running home. Bursts through the door. Boom. Honey, it's me. And they're amazed. What happened to you? This man named Jesus came. And he touched me. How can you not love him when you see his heart? I don't know what this leper's story is, but one thing I am sure of, after this sacred encounter with Jesus, I believe this leper now has a song ringing in his heart that he will sing for all eternity. I believe for all eternity that song will ring in his heart. And I believe for all eternity there will be millions that will join that leper around the throne, singing that same song. Brothers and sisters, I want to be faithful to Him simply because of who He is. Stand with me this morning. Everybody that's come to the altar, I just come up here and I say, Lord, I don't want no one to go out of here heavy this morning. Because God, You're here to encourage people. You're here to encourage hearts. And I said, Lord, what can I tell them? If someone's feeling heavy, what can I tell them? And the Lord just said, Tim, just tell them very simply, tell them this. I love them. And I knew that was from the Lord because as soon as the Lord spoke that, Joshua began to start playing that song, Oh, How He Loves Me. And the Lord wants you to know that today. God loves you with all of His heart. He loves you. And He's working in your heart a good work. And I feel like the Lord is saying, Tim, I'm going to make you into that faithful priest. I'm going to work my faithfulness in your heart because it's Me who works in you both to will and to do of My good pleasure. But at the same time, I do sense that we do have a responsibility. We have to want His will. You understand that? I'm not trying to contradict what I just said. God's going to work that in our heart. But yet there's so many people in ministry and in the church who are very slothful, very mediocre about what God's put in their hands. We have to want His will. More than anything else in this world, we have got to want His will. You understand that? Brothers and sisters, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to the Lord. Do you want to be faithful to the Lord? Listen, let's just take just a moment. Let's just lift our hands and just thank the Lord for His faithfulness. Lord, we thank You. God, we love You only because You first loved us. And God, we thank You for Your faithfulness. Before we walk out of this house this morning, we just want You to know that we love You. With all of our hearts, we love You. God, as You are faithful to us, we desire to be faithful to You. God, I thank You for Your strength this morning. I feel Your strength. I feel Your tenderness. God, I feel the comfort of Your Spirit, God, and we thank You this morning. And God, I just pray no one would walk out of here heavy, but we would truly walk out encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. God, You are faithful. You are faithful. Lord, we love You and we give You honor and we give You glory.